Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you here at the NovaCare Complex. Hard to come to words today. Well, thank you for joining us, first of all. Any Eagles fan who's sitting in front of his computer right now watching this, I applaud you and your love for this football team. I share your frustration, your anger, your embarrassment. I think everybody here does. Thursday night's loss against Seattle Seahawks, it just keeps going and going and going. Just an awful performance from this football team. The numbers mean nothing, absolutely nothing. Never have there been more hollow numbers than what the Eagles and that there's nobody quitting and that they're a good football team and they know they're a good football team is it's unfair. I know, I understand keeping a positive face but how do you go into a football game and play like that? We've learned a lot of lessons, I can tell you that. It starts at the quarterback position. Vince Young has channeled his inner Mike McMahon. Just bad mechanics, bad decision-making, poor accuracy. Four more interceptions for Young. Young has four touchdown passes and nine interceptions. Last night, 17 of 29, 52.7 quarterback rating. The touchdown pass was a shovel pass to McCoy. And all of you on the chat, yeah, it's a sad day to be an Eagle. I mean, in this play, what's remarkable about this play, if you look on the outside, freeze it. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, how about Riley Cooper? Nick, go a little bit further here. Riley Cooper comes back, he's open. It's just, I don't even know where to begin. Andy Reid comes along at noon. I'm here to talk to you guys, 215-339-6709. 4-8, playoffs, forget about it. I mean, LeSean McCoy, look at the route that he ran. Kind of jogged out there. Like he wasn't even being considered on the route. And yet Vince Young threw it that way. My number one need on this football team, clarity, confidence, and an upgrade at the quarterback position. Now, whether that comes from Michael Vick changing the style of play, he has missed key parts, three games completely, two key parts of other games, five games. How do you rely on that? Look, the mechanics are terrible. How do you rely on a quarterback position where your starter's missing all this time? defense, missed tackles, missed assignments. You know, a lot of players who haven't been here for years. A lot of players who are one-year players here, young kids, players who are here on one-year deals, players who are learning how to be Eagles. This is not how you play in Philadelphia. And so there will be very, very difficult decisions to be made moving forward. I don't have those answers. They will not be made right now. The Eagles will obviously not address this until after the season. And, you know, I'm looking at the chat here. Words like so sad, heartbreaking, Eagles suck. I mean, how do you argue that? How do you argue that right now? All of these free agents the Eagles signed, a draft class that's the last couple of years where Brandon Graham's not playing. Nate Allen's had two just terrible games. Daniel Teo-Nassim is in Tampa Bay. Jaquan Jarrett doesn't play. Curtis Marsh doesn't play. A lot of rookies. A lot of young kids playing. I'll give you that. But it's just, I mean, how many missed tackles can you see? My gosh. Probably the saddest part of my night, in addition to the game itself, was just all. I walked around pregame, and there were so many Eagles fans there. And all these great signs and all this great support, and, you know, 200 people coming from Missoula, Montana to watch their hometown hero, Cole Anderson, play in the NFL. Little girls wearing Cole Anderson jerseys. And then he goes down with a torn ACL. If every player on this team had the desire of Cole Anderson or Brent Celek, LeSean McCoy, Trent Cole, my goodness, this would be a good football team. Cullen Jenkins cares. I think Mike Patterson cares. I guess let's get to some phone calls here. I apologize for riffing so long. Javi in Miami, how are you? Hello, Javi.
Dave, how's it going, man?
Let's get the rule out here right away. Don't ask me how it's going. It's going terribly.
Yeah, man, you sound devastated, man. I'm with you, man. Let me tell you something. This is going to be the first time in 20 years I get to see the Eagles live. You know, I've been waiting for a long time to see them, and this is the first time. And oh, man, you have no idea how terrible I feel right now.
Well, let's hope Michael Vick's back on the field and Jeremy Maclin's back on the field. That'll give at least some kind of spark next Sunday, I would hope. I
hope so, man. And the thing that really bothers me is that, you know, they're not playing as a team that's just going to roll over. I mean, I got to be honest, living in Miami, I see the Dolphins playing. Man, these guys play with a lot of heart. You know, every game they're in there. And the Eagles are the opposite. They don't play with any heart. I mean, you see the way they play on defense. You see the way they play on offense, the mental mistakes, discipline, turnovers. I mean, wow. And I got to be upfront with you. I'm really getting sick and tired of people just blaming and throwing Juan Castillo under the bus. It's not Andy Reid's number one. I'm not saying fire Andy Reid. Andy Reid's the first blame. The second blame is the quarterback playing turnovers. It's ridiculous. You take away all the turnovers this season,
well,
you have a team with a winning record going to the playoffs with a division lead.
The defense
is because of the massive amount of turnovers from mental errors, poor discipline, which is a result of lack of good coaching. I mean, I'm sorry, Marty Morgenweg, bye. He's got to go. I mean, if it's him or Andy Reid. It's ridiculous.
I can't defend anybody. I'm not going to point out one person or one part of the team because the entire team shares the blame. The front office, the team, the players, the coaches, the owner, the president, the general manager, everyone. Everyone. This blueprint that was laid out, the blueprint that was laid out didn't work. Bombed. And
I mean, do you feel it's almost like the same that happened with the Cowboys last season where
yeah, I hope so. Let me tell you something. I hope that's the extent of it. Because The Cowboys had just an off season, then they bounced back, and they're leading the NFC East.
I mean, I hope so, too, because what bothered me is after every game the Cowboys played last season, they would be in the locker room, they'd say, oh, we're a better team than that, we're the better team.
Oh, I don't want to hear it anymore.
So obviously, the record doesn't show it now, does it?
I can't even hear that anymore. We're a better team, we're...
This
team's better than nothing. Yeah, this team's better than nothing.
You are what your record says you are.
Listen,
you're 4-8, bottom feeder, you're worse than the Redskins. I mean...
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Miami next week, and I know there's going to be a bunch of Eagles fans down there, and I hope you enjoy it. And what can I say? Thanks for your support, and things will get better because they certainly can't get much worse, I think.
I hope so, too, Dave. You have a better day than you started out.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thanks for calling. 215-339-6709. It's a telephone. Let's take a little break here. When we return, we're going to hear from DeSean Jackson. Not even a part of the offense last night. What do you have, 4 catches? Wasn't even looked at in the first half. We'll hear from him on the other side. We want to get a bunch of your phone calls. And, of course, Andy Reid coming along at noon. We're discussing a 4-8 football team that is, certainly a very, very disappointing discussion to have. But we will welcome all of your phone calls, Eagles fans. I hear your voices. I feel your pain. I feel the exact same way. We're coming back on Eagles Live in just a moment.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Sean, you were targeted only twice in the first half. Was the game plan to get you more involved than that?
I can't. Two times, whatever the case may be. I mean, the football game is not, evolved all around myself. Still, 11 men out, on the field. So, regardless of how many times I was targeted, what the case was, I mean, that's really not a factor.
Did you think you see the ball more, though?
I mean, you never know. I mean, coming into certain games, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. That's a part of the game. And can't predict that. You just got to go out there and do your job. So,
turnovers still killing this team, DeSean. How crippling were those tonight?
I mean, turnovers have been, you know, hurting us all season, man. It's nothing new to us. For some reason, you know, they're sticking with us. You know, win games in the NFL, you can't hide that. So, you know, that's our downfall right now.
Deshaun, is this?
You know, we got to play for our pride. You know, every person on this team is very prideful. You know, we go out to practice, and we practice so hard. And, you know, the results are just not turning over to the game. So I think everybody's just got to, you know, play for their pride, play for the name on the back of the jersey, play for the team on the front, the Eagles, and, you know, just go out playing tough as you can. You know, everybody's counting us out. So, I mean, regardless of the case, we just got to go out there and keep fighting.
Are you frustrated?
Frustrated with what? Losing? Yeah, of course.
Very frustrated.
No, personally, nothing. I'm frustrated we're not winning games. Don't have nothing to do with personally. It's the team game. Frustrated we're not winning. Frustrated we don't have a winning record. Frustrated with all that type of stuff. So, yeah.
Sean, the game broadcast showed Shadi not talking to Vince Young and your teammates and reported that. Was something going on?
You said what?
The game broadcast was saying that you weren't speaking to your teammates on the sidelines. There was a report for that.
I mean, if that's what they saw, that's what they saw. I'm not going to entertain it.
Were you speaking with your teammates? Was there any communication issue?
I don't have to sit here and answer them questions. My teammates know what it is. I ain't got to sit here and answer them questions.
Were you frustrated, Deshaun, or the way
things frustrated with losing? Right then, frustrated with losing, of course. Anything else to be frustrated at? No.
What little changes do you see to turn this around for you guys, if at all, in the next?
Like I said, you got to go out there and play for the pride of the Eagles and the name on the back of your jersey. Can't suck it up and play for that. I don't know.
Deshaun, you were spotted hanging out with a defensive lineman before the game while the receivers were catching other passes. Is that something normal you do?
Bruh, what do you? I'm not answering none of that type of questions, bro. Go on, if you're gonna ask something about the game, do that, bro. You ask some questions, don't even mean nothing. Next question. God,
so there's no dissension between you and your teammates.
Man, y'all are gone.
You know, I am with Deshaun Jackson on this one. I am with Deshaun. I watch him pregame, as every player does, mixes and mingles with other players on other teams. Deshaun dances. Deshaun gets into the right mindset. He was not targeted last night in the passing game. He is frustrated by losing. When you watch something on television, you catch a snippet. And then to ask questions about that, it's just really not fair to the player. I am with Deshaun Jackson on this one. I think his responses were appropriate. He's frustrated with losing. He wants the football. Hell yeah, everybody does. Okay? This is a lousy situation. Now, we're going to get to Juanita in Alabama in a moment. First, the NFL Network had a piece following Deshaun's time at the locker. And the NFL Network talks about Deshaun Jackson, a reaction to his reaction.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it is all upside down right now for that young man.
For the whole team, Rich. Well, not just him, the whole team.
No, I know that, but he is, I think.
For him.
He is.
They're trying to provoke
for him.
Yes, they are.
They're
trying to provoke the whole team.
Yes.
They're trying to provoke him.
Yeah.
To do something crazy, to say something stupid. I applaud him for handling that way. He did a great job.
Because those same guys, they were in Andy Reid's presser.
Right.
They were not grilling Andy Reid about not getting Deshaun. Andy said they ran the safety over the top. That was it. Not another question was asked about
why didn't you
throw him a screen or anything else.
Yeah, and they were double teaming him. They did have the safety over the top of some plays and everything. But the plays we saw, Deshaun was hurt because it looks like he was limping. He should get off the field so we don't have these issues.
Hold on a minute, though. I understand you guys are saying the media was trying to provoke him.
Is he
not giving the media
the media's doing
reason,
the job.
Reason
well,
to
well,
ask
let me
these
talk
questions?
To you about that. Let's talk to you about that because honestly, and I don't want to, but when we do this, when we're doing games, and I watch this for 100 years, guys a million miles away projecting what's being said on the sideline, it's impossible for them to do that. It's impossible for them to know. So when you see two guys standing together and Vince says something to Deshaun, all of a sudden, Deshaun's not talking to anybody. We can't do that stuff. We don't know. You cannot do that unless you're on the sideline because you're giving millions of people.
There's not a receiver in this game that if he's not having a good game, you're going to see him talking a lot on the sideline. They're going to be upset.
They're either screaming at
their quarterback or they're not saying anything.
Hold on a minute. Alex Flanagan reported during the game she was on the sideline. She was there. She was watching this whole thing. And she said that Deshaun Jackson wasn't talking to anybody. Now, you could sit there and say that that doesn't mean anything. But she's reporting with her own two eyes what she saw. And the game broadcast, as you know, goes coast to coast. And then we show video of him either hurt or not trying. Mm-hmm. And then this is after he doesn't answer an alarm bell and he gets benched. And you sat him down for game day morning,
yes,
and he clearly was hurt. He was clearly hurt by this situation.
Clearly hurt by the financial situation.
And the entire team is going south. The entire team is 4-8.
All of that is right.
And he is the lightning rod for that.
He
is the personification in many ways of what's wrong with this team. Right or wrong.
I'm not buying that one. I'm not buying that. Yes, he's part of the issue.
Right.
He's part of the problem. But the problem, the genesis of the problem started in the offseason when they made a decision to be loyal to the coaches and not to the players on that football team. That's the genesis of the problem. Now, what manifests after that is what we're seeing. Let's keep it where it needs to be.
The question is, what's right? If we see a receiver yelling at his quarterback, he's wrong. Now we see a receiver who's
not
upset, and he doesn't want to talk to his quarterback. He's wrong, too. What's the right thing to do?
Yeah, all we're saying is that there are things going on the sideline. I'm sure everybody does a great job, but they keep her a distance, too. So if he does say something to somebody, are we going to report? Oh, he just said hello to somebody on the sideline.
Well,
we don't do that.
Alex did a great job.
They did a wonderful job.
She reported what she saw.
Right.
What she saw. Deshaun did a great job
of walking away.
True.
Walking away.
Keeping his composure. Now let's move on.
Okay. Time out.
Button it up, Mooch. Button it up.
I don't care what he does on the bench.
Right.
I don't
all
care. I don't care what he does in warm-ups. Somebody asked a question. You were down there warming up.
Yeah, that
I don't care about
thank
that.
You, coach.
What I care
that's
about
what set
is
him off.
How do you play the game?
There is.
Is there effort? Is there production? If he was hurt, come on out.
Off the field.
If he's loafing, come on out. But he's got to play the game hard. There must be a reason.
Yes.
That's what I'm concerned about as a coach. Not all the fringe stuff.
Absolutely. Coach.
There you go.
Well, listen, good job by the NFL Network crew. I agree with them on that. We sit in this box, and as Michael Irvin said, a million miles away, or way up in the sky, glance up at TV and look for a story from that. And it's not fair to Deshaun Jackson. You can be critical of Deshaun Jackson. He was suspended for a game or inactive for a game. That's fair. But to make something out of a snippet of a broadcast, not fair to him. All right, let's get to Juanita in Alabama. Hey, Juanita.
Hey, Dave. I'm not going to ask you how you are doing today.
Thank you.
I know how I feel.
Yes.
I am just devastated.
Right.
Just devastated. I wasn't expecting them to, make it to the Super Bowl this year. My heart was nowhere near the Super Bowl because I knew it was a new team. But to get 4-8, it's unbelievable.
It is, and it's very disappointing. And, I guess I'm training myself to not look at how the team has gotten here. I'm more concerned with how the team's going to get out of this in the big picture. Because I can't change the past. But I want to know how they're going to get out of this. And what's this team going to do to fix it? And I know the organization has been very successful, and I have great confidence that things will change. I just, you got to ride out the rest of the season and then see what kind of changes the Eagles make.
Well, I don't know how they're going to fix it, but I know how they can move on. And I think anybody in their right mind would not have a quarterback to throw a ball down at the line of scrimmage or whatever, knowing that this man is throwing too many interceptions. So, to my opinion, and this is my opinion, I would like to see Monowag go, and I would like to see Juan Castillo go. I love the head coach, Reed, and I feel like he needs one more year, to try to get this team straightened out. But those two, I think they need to go. And if Andy Reid can't straighten it out the next year, then he needs to go. I haven't been with this team that long. The day that they signed Michael Vick, that's the day I followed Michael Vick because I always loved him. I know he's a great quarterback. But if you can't get protection from him, he's going to stay hurt. And I'm afraid he's going to get seriously hurt. He has more injuries with this team than he had with the Falcons because I think they won't let him play his game. You can't just take a person and just change everything.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean? Who's trying to change Michael Vick? I mean, I am. I'm trying to change Michael Vick. I don't want to see him. I want to see the guy slide. Okay. I don't want to hear slide or I'm not going to slide or go learn to slide. Save your body. Run out of bounds. Go down. Don't run. Don't try to take on defensive players. Get rid of the football. Drop back. Get rid of it. I mean, otherwise, Michael Vick's going to get hurt. He's going to get hit. He's going to get hurt.
And he's going to get hurt in the pocket because those guys are not protecting him. They can
No.
Vince
disagree.
Young,
disagree.
Vince Young is
disagree.
A terrible quarterback.
Vince Young has
I
had,
watched him from Tennessee.
Vince Young has had plenty of time. Michael Vick has plenty of time. Drop back and get rid of the football.
Exactly.
You got to have a better – don't invite the hits. Michael invites the hits because his style of quarterbacking – thanks for so much for the call, Juanita. His style of quarterbacking is to hold the ball, to try to make plays, keep plays alive, whether he's running or throwing the ball down the field. And he's been, you know, able to make a lot of plays that way in his career. But the Philadelphia Eagles cannot have Michael Vick missing – 3 full games a year and 2 fourth quarters of critical games. You just can't do it. This game, your offense, obviously, it starts with the quarterback. And we see when your quarterback's playing poorly, as Vince Young is, how much your offense is unable to make plays. Ace from D.C. Hi, Ace. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Check it out, man. You know, we can complain forever, man, but I said this last night. I think fans need to just give up on figuring out what needs to happen because it's basically out of our hands, all right? This is a complete mess, all right? Now, I'm going to agree with Skip Bayless from a comment he made this morning. Andy Reid is a victim of his own success. That is one of the best points that I have ever heard made about this guy. He's so successful that you're almost scared to get rid of him, and then that hurts you because you got to hold on to him and he still might hurt you. I just think, man, and you know, Dave, look, I'm just, you can tell I'm confused. I've been calling you for years, man.
Yeah.
Screaming the names that people are actually screaming today.
Everybody's confused.
I saw this years ago in the making. See, I don't think this is a problem with the players. Because I actually think the Eagles can win with the players that they have. I think we got a motivation problem. We got a self-enlightenment problem. I'll give you one example. I've never been in that locker room, but I'm pretty sure that Asante Samuel is one of the problems. Because I honestly believe that when the defensive coordinator is punishing him, Asante Samuel is responding in a fashion of, you're nobody, I have a ring, and I don't have to listen. See, that's why we get the thing of him playing on the left.
Well,
out of the coach's hands. Right. It's actually on the owners and the GM. I think Andy Reid and
Hey, man, I told you the other day I kind of wanted him out a little bit, but I'm to this point now. I don't think this is his fault. I think he has no control of this whole situation. To me, and I'm going to give you a street term, a person that takes the beef is a person who you love, you down with, dog. You roll with them forever. Man, Andy done took the bite on everything, all right? So, in a way, we kind of thinking with anger and not being smart here. I don't think Andy picked these people, okay? Now, as far as that loyalty thing to Juan Castillo, I think Andy had a little bit to do with it, but I think, once again, we was going on the cheap. Now, my other point Deshaun Jackson thing, I told you last week, 2 weeks ago, that we had a mini Terrell Owens situation brewing. The Eagles are on this thing that they don't have to pay people, and they got to show their worth. And I just think, man, from just to sum it all up, it's just a terribly ran organization where it's 15 leaders.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
agree,
Ace.
Dave?
No.
And I know you can't say too much.
I can say a lot because I'm in the locker room every
ground
day.
Zero.
Ace,
you agree that it's a lack of control in here? It's like the prisoners running the asylum.
No. I think the Eagles have a bad mix of players. I think they made some mistakes.
You did, Dave?
Thanks for the call. I'll talk to you off the air or when you're off the air. I think it's everybody's fault. I think the blueprint looked great at the time. It takes a lot more than talent to win in this league. I think there's the leadership in the locker room is a great question. I think signing all these players, looking back, was probably not the right thing to do. I think some of the moves made. I don't think the coaching has been good. I mean, I think everything. I think it's everything. You can't just say don't keep going back to Asante Samuel. It's always with Ace. It always starts with Asante Samuel. Is it Andy Reid's fault? Sure, it's everyone's. It's his coaching staff's fault. It's the constitution of the roster. It's the players' fault. It's everyone's fault. You don't get to 4-8 because of one thing. Again, I am trying to focus on how are they going to get out of it? Everybody can have their theories, and I welcome those theories. Why they're 4-8? Yeah, is it turnovers? Yes. Is it defense? Yes. Is it special teams? Is it lack of urgency? Yeah. Does a team tackle poorly? Yes. Do they commit too many penalties? Yes. They drop too many passes? Yes. We know that. We watch that. It's the same story every week. We sit here and we talk about turnovers, and we talk about this, and we talk about that. What are the Eagles now? Minus 13 in turnovers? The Eagles have lost two more fumbles, and they have... Yeah, they've thrown 22 interceptions. They've committed an NFL-high 29 turnovers in 12 games. 29 turnovers in 12 games. That's 2.5 turnovers a game. That's unbelievable. Chris in Ben Salem, is that you, Chris? Yo, Chris. Hello? Who's on the line? Hello. Yeah, who? What's your name? Get rid of him. Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Brent Celek last night, and he was as perplexed as anyone. Hardworking guy. Really no answers. So we'll take a break on the other side. We listen to Brent Celek and get a sense of what the team is feeling. Andy Reid will come along at noon. Don't know what he's going to say differently now than he said last night. But, hey. 215-339-6709. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shifts the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
We'll be right back.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the community relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Hey Eagles fans, I'm Randall Cunningham and you're watching Eagles Live.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Be out for a while with the concussion. You just kind of feel like you're snake bit with all kinds of bad luck this year too.
I mean, you're going to have those things throughout a year, and it's a chance for other guys to step up and play well. You can't sit there and dwell on the fact that guys are getting injured because it's part of the game. And we've got a lot of depth on this team, and we've got a lot of good players that can play if guys go down.
You know, you've been saying that, I mean, we've been asking you the same questions for about a month or more now, and you've given us the same answer. I mean, is there just no answer?
I don't know what else to say about it because, I mean, I don't know what there is to say. I mean, I'm dumbfounded. You know, I'm sick about it, embarrassed. I mean, All those type of words that you can come up with. It's not good.
What separates the teams that have won in the past and 4-8 so far this year? Is it? Can you pinpoint that?
I can't. You know, we've got a great team. We've got athletes all over the field, and important situations. You know, we just haven't made the plays. I think that's all it comes down to. The opposing teams have made the plays, and we haven't.
Is this something unlike anything you've ever been through in any level of football you played?
Yeah. Just because we've got a lot of good guys, a lot of talent, and a lot of expectations. And we haven't even come close to even living up to them. So.
What's the message from the coaching staff been?
I mean, you can tell they're disappointed too, but we've got to stick together. We've got to keep our head up because we've got four more games, and we got to come together. We got to fight and show the city that, you know, we are a team, and you know, we can get this thing back rolling.
Andy Reid coming along at noon. We will hear what he has to say, update some injuries. Obviously, Colt Anderson out for the season. Just so sad. You know, 200 fans from his hometown of Missoula, Montana, making the trip to Seattle, and Colt goes down with a torn ACL. He is done for the season. Nnamdi Asamoah has the concussion, and we'll find out updates on him. Hopefully, there'll be some positive news on Michael Vick and his ribs, and Jeremy Maclin and his hamstring shoulder injury. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. Let's go to Texas and talk to Brett. Hey, Brett. Yo, Brett. Where's Brett? Brett? Yellow. He's not there. Let's take another call.
Hey,
Brett, what's up?
Hey, is it Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Dave. Well, obviously, it's pretty frustrating. I think it's gotten to the point of past the point of frustration where it's getting embarrassing now. But one of the good things I can say, watching the post game show last night with Chris and Adam, they were kind of they were kind of a little disappointed that the players were confident in themselves. You know, Shady and other players are saying, we're the better team, we should be winning, you know. And I think it's great that they have confidence in each other. They're not playing well, but even if your team's losing, you want your players to still be confident in themselves, to know that they can go out and get the job done. And then it's just a matter of them going out and doing it. So,
I guess my point is that, I don't know. I understand your point, and I guess I'll leave it at that. I just think that I've never been one to put a whole lot of consideration into what press conferences or what's said at press conferences or what's said in the locker room. I think it's just a bunch of talk, and that your performance speaks for itself. And the performance is such that the Eagles, like when they say that, I wonder, does that mean that they just think they can turn it on, the switch on and off when they want? Like, if this is such a good team, then why are they 4-8?
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to say, you know, I'm really disappointed in how we're playing and we have to find a way to get better. Isn't that okay to say? Instead of sitting there saying, we're a great team, we know we're better than this? Well, if you know you're better than this, then go out and win the games.
Exactly.
Go out and win the games. Don't talk the talk. Walk it. I mean, for 10 years, I was in a locker room where it was a humble, hardworking locker room, and the guys didn't take it for granted. I don't get that sense here. I don't know. It just, to me, it seems to speak to the disconnect of what the players feel about the team. You know, they say all week, it's a great, we've had a great week of preparation, great week of preparation. They go into the games and it falls apart. Well,
makes you not believe them a little bit.
I want to figure out, to me, this, the key part of last night's game to me was, look, two teams that are 4-7, Eagles are exhausted going out there. All right, usually on the West Coast, we take 2 days to go out there. This time, team lands at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, Seattle time. Okay? I woke up the next morning dragging. And what am I? Like, I'm not going to write good stories because I'm tired? My fingers are tired? And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I'm dragging, how are these guys feeling?
Yep.
Jet lag, you know? And they bang, they're down 14-0, just like that. And I mean, I just want to see some fight here. I want to see some. I don't want people to sit in the locker room and tell me it's a team of fighters. I want them to go out and fight and kick and scratch and claw and do what it takes to win games. That's the Eagles football I have come to know. That's not what this team is showing. Don't tell me how good a team. Don't tell me how good a team you are. Go out and win the games. And then we'll talk. That's all.
Dave, a lot of fans have been talking about the coaching and Castillo and Reed, and I'm biased. I stand behind those guys regardless. I think Andy Reed is a phenomenal coach. You're not going to be perfect all the time. You are going to have some slumps. To think that there's a better coach out there, that we should get rid of him, and that there's a better guy than Andy Reed is really asking a lot. I mean, it's like having a first-round pick that you're going to let go and thinking he can hire a guy off the streets that's better than him. It's not likely. That guy's really talented. To find a replacement that's better is going to be really far-stretched. But then the thing with Juan, you know, I have a lot of faith in him, but it's starting to come down to, if you take a step back and you look at it from, if I look at it from an unbiased point of view, there's so much talent. What is the only thing you can't point at?
There's so much.
It could be the coaches.
There's so much talent where? On defense?
On defense, yeah.
Is there? Okay. Well, I see Babin's got 12 sacks. I guess my philosophy is there's a ton of talent in the NFL, and every player is talented. And it takes more than talent to win games. You must have great, a great fit, cohesiveness. You know, to ask 11 25-year-old men to do anything, to walk in a straight line together is difficult, right? We're all men.
Right.
We're all clowns, right? We can't do anything unless we're told specifically what to do. Okay? So to ask 11 men to do that, to play defense, to be on the same page in a game that moves at such an incredibly high rate of speed, knowing that one misstep costs you 25 yards. I mean, we see it all the time. The Eagles, they are in coverage, and there's a guy who slides out to the sideline, and you're a step behind him, and he gains 17 yards. It's more than talent. It's more than talent. Every team's talented.
You know what's amazing is that this year we've had one of the best defensive lines I've seen in the past. We've been getting sacks, we've getting pressure, and we're not blitzing at all. So if you think about that, this is one of the worst secondary years we've had that I can remember. And we're doing that with a talented defensive line, and we're not blitzing at all. We have more guys in for coverage than I can ever remember. And it's amazing that our coverage would be worse when we're getting better pressure and we have more guys in coverage. That makes no sense.
Well, there are times when there's good pressure. I mean, this is not good pressure here. This is late pressure. There are plenty of times I've seen four-man rushes where the quarterback has time. It's just, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. I don't, you know, it's and thanks for the call. I just, it's like, hey, yeah, great. The Eagles drop 7 in coverage. There are other times when they don't get pressure with 4, and, I mean, there's no pressure here. Look at how much time he has. He drops the ball, picks it up, still has time. I mean, it's like one or two things on every play. Or you get a guy in perfect position, and he misses a tackle. Is that? It's the coaches, it's the players, it's everything. How do you come out of it? That's what I want to know. That's what keeps me going. That's the optimistic view. What's the next step? How do you get out of it? Vince in Atlanta joins us here on Eagles Live. Vince. Yellow Vince. Hi, Vince.
Under the circumstances here, you know, it's amazing how bad they are at home, too. In Atlanta, it's Ryan's like, you can't beat the guy at home. And with Eagles, 1-8 in their last 9 or something?
Yes.
And it's just, I've never heard of that. I mean, even on really, really traditionally like bad teams like the Lions and the Bengals where they just have perennial, you know, losing seasons, you'll squeeze out a few home wins.
I know. I wish I could give you an answer.
Well, that's, you know, hey, wins are wins. And I think that most knowledgeable fans will say that your quarterback and your defense, those are the two main areas where the wins come from. And there's a lot of inconsistency at those two areas. Obviously, Vince Young coming in, stepping in, and not really having a lot of reps under his belt, so to speak, with the offense. At least within the last year, he hasn't played in such a long time. Defense has been kind of a revolving door of players over the last 3 years. They've gotten rid of so many players. I don't know. The consistency there has been really...
Well, it's not, Vince, it's not just the players. They've had 3 different coordinators the last 4 years. Jim Johnson, 2 years Sean McDermott, and Juan Castillo. That's difficult. It's difficult, especially when you don't have a training camp, or rather an offseason, to learn what Juan has brought in, and that's a different scheme. I mean, this is a different scheme than what Jim and what Sean ran. They don't blitz. They don't drop back in zone. The zone blitz, a defensive lineman don't drop back. You know, we made a big deal last year. Trent Cole dropped back 10% of the time in coverage. Well, he doesn't do that anymore. So there's a lot of adjustment, yeah, no question.
So, yeah, and I think that because of all that, you know, the players haven't had a chance to really, sink into the whole system because it's just been, like you said, it's just been changing yearly, which is difficult to do as the players change as well. So you kind of get the double whammy there. So basically, I guess to ask you on the inside, for Eagles fans, is there going to be drastic changes, do you see? I mean, if it goes this way?
I mean, the team's 4-8. I mean, there's nobody happy here. You better change things. The Eagles haven't won a playoff game since, the 2008 season.
You think there's a regret getting rid of Dawkins? You think that was a mistake?
I don't know how. I can't speak for the organization. I can speak for how I feel. I mean, I don't know what kind of player he is now. You know, Denver's doing very well defensively.
Yeah, they got Bunkley, too.
Yeah, I thought Bunkley didn't play well here the last couple of years. But
that's a whole other story. First-round pick, they moved up to take him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a big deal. I mean, invested a lot into him. 4 years later, he's gone. I mean, I don't know. You do that enough, and you turn into one of those teams. You're turning into the Cardinals.
Let's be honest here. From a 11 players on each side of the ball situation, to me, you've got to get the quarterback position squared away, because Michael Vick's your guy, and that's fine, and I love Michael Vick. But he's missed 3 full games this year and the fourth quarter of 2 other games. He missed 3 games last year.
Yeah, quarterback huge. You know,
so your franchise quarterback is going to miss this kind of time? He's got to take a week to slide, to learn how to slide. He's got to get rid of. He can't keep taking these hits. If he's your guy, or you better draft a quarterback, or you better hope Mike Kafka can be the guy. I mean,
I agree, Dave. I think most of the fans kind of agree.
You need a franchise. You need a franchise quarterback that you can count on being there every week, and that's what the winning teams have.
You're right. That's how the NFL has been going. Did you know that Marino's 1984 record of 5,000 yards, 3 QBs are on pace to shatter that this year?
Yeah.
Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers.
Yeah, and this offense, when we looked at it at the beginning of the season, with an offensive line, I actually think the offensive line's been pretty darn good, and I'm
absolutely
excited about that group. And a running back who's the best in the league in LeSean McCoy, and some excellent receivers, a very fine tight end. And the Eagles don't score points.
It's like you said, you know, Vince just played 3 games. That's a lot of games. You're right to miss. I mean, that's almost a quarter of the season. If the backup plays this upcoming week against Miami, that's, you're talking 4 games.
Yeah,
that's a quarter of your season. That's too many games. That, you know, in the NFL, you can't. It's hard to make up that kind of time. So there's only so many games. So you're right about that.
When he plays. The Eagles lead the NFL in turnovers, 29, including 22 turnovers, interceptions. That's nearly 2 interceptions per game. You cannot win football games like that. You cannot win football games like that. Red zone interceptions, killer, killer, killer. We've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks and months.
Yeah, the only way you can overcome a lack of quarterback play, is, and it's only happened twice in the last decade or so, that was Tampa Bay and the Ravens, as far as winning a championship with average quarterback.
And they happen to have remarkable defenses. Yeah.
Those are rare nowadays. The NFL has changed.
It's hard to
you
say.
Got 4 points.
Yeah, thank you so much for the phone call. It's hard to say how many pieces are in place on defense. I can't. When I look at the defense, I just see concerns from front to back. Have they all gone south? I mean, Tavares Jackson was 13 of 16 last night. That just can't happen. So, moving forward, what are the steps? What are the steps the Eagles take to fix it? This is new territory for me. I mean, this is... For everyone here, scary. Scary territory. Thanks for the call, Vince. 215-339-6709. Demean from Atlanta. Hey, Demean. Welcome to the show. How are you? Terrible, I know. Bad question. Sorry.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good, but I'm just already just think that the decision I made, I don't think we should get rid of Andy Reid, but next year, I think that, well, I mean, we need a D coordinator, and what do you think we need in the draft? I want to hear what you think with the draft.
All right, so we're talking about need. What does this team need on offense? Well, again, quarterback, I'm going to start there. I kind of like the rest of the group, though. I wouldn't mind, you know, DeSean Jackson's future is a big question. If he's back, terrific. But I guess I'd still like another big target in the red zone. Defense, I think other than, and again, Asante Samuel, what's his future here? I like the depth there, potentially. I mean, I don't know if Curtis Marsh can play yet, but I like Nnamdi, and I like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. So cornerback may not be as much of an issue, but every other position, bring them on. Give me more defensive linemen. Give me more linebackers. Give me some safeties, clearly. You know, punter and kicker, I think Alex Henry's been okay. I think Chaz Henry's come on actually pretty good the last few weeks. Pretty well.
But, yeah, well, my biggest need, I think, is linebacker. And I still remember this like clear as day yesterday. I remember in the third round we got Daniel Teo-Nahum. I don't know how to say his
Teo-Nahum.
Name. He's not even on our team anymore. Right. And we could have got Navarro Bowman, who's the fourth leading tackler in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I
think we always just hit and miss, but I mean, just don't even know what to say anymore. I can't blame the whole game on Vince because the defense was horrible. Just like Marshawn Lynch. I mean that gang. I mean, like the whole every Eagle touched him and they couldn't even bring him down. I actually think they should start playing with Jaquan Jarrett, see what he has, and see what Casey Matthews has since we just rolled the whole carousel of linebackers. I mean, and maybe he could be a little bit more ready and put him in an outside instead of inside, but I definitely know we need an inside linebacker. Maybe the guy from, what's that guy's name? Well, we just need a top linebacker. And then I know we do need a backup quarterback because, I mean, Vic misses too many games. So.
Yeah, you got to rely on your quarterback to be there every week.
And the line, I'm kind of with you on that. The line has came back good. I think the line is there.
Damien, thanks. Well said. And thanks for the phone call. Dave Spitter with you. Damien is at a loss for words, clearly, as we all are. 4-8, Philadelphia Eagles. Andy Reid should be along any moment now. Again, the team landed, the plane landed at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. Here is Andy Reid, so we'll hold on to all phone calls. Andy Reid in the auditorium. I don't know what he can say that he didn't say yesterday. Here is head coach Andy Reid.
All right, injuries. Cole Anderson has a torn ACL. We'll have surgery next week. Nnamdi has a concussion. We'll just see how he does over the next couple days. And really, King Dunlap's making improvement with his concussion. Jeremy Macklin is making improvement with the hamstring. Cromartie with a high ankle sprain. And Michael Vick is doing well. So. Not much difference on what I mentioned last night. I've had a chance here just to scramble through the tape. It wasn't put in the system here until just a little bit ago. So, and my compliments to the Seahawks. They played a better game than we did. Obviously, when you have the four turnovers in a football game like that, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot. And that becomes my responsibility, make sure I'm putting the guys in the right position. And then defensively the same way. We've just got to do a better job on both sides of the ball and on special teams and in order to win a football game here. Time's yours.
Andy, can you really explain what's going on here? I mean, teams can have step backs. They can even sit on your cheek. But 4-8 seems just really impossible, or should have been, for this collection of players. Can you explain what happened and how you got here?
Well, I think every game, you know, I've explained every game to you on where the problems have been. Obviously, turnovers, red zone. I mean, I look at the facts of it. And I also say that it's my fault for not putting the guys in the right position to make the plays. And inevitably it comes back to the head coach, and that's where it should come back to. So
you guys
guys maybe misjudged some of the talent on this team, especially on the defensive side?
Well, listen, I think we're young up the middle of the defense is what I think we are. And so they're learning on the run. We're not really a very old football team, period, but we are young up the middle of the defense.
And the rush defense especially, I mean, I think Marshawn Lynch is the fifth guy to go over 100 yards against you, and that 15-yard touchdown was kind of symbolized a lot of things. I mean, it was just an effort play, and he had the effort, your guys didn't. I mean, is that especially troublesome?
Yeah, we literally had somebody on his back, and he slipped out of that, and we had another guy on his legs, and he slipped out of that. So I'm not sure that's an effort thing. I mean, everybody was trying hard to get there. Once, you know, an effort thing is that they're not getting to the football, but they were trying there, and it was in a pile, and nobody really had a good enough grasp on them. But I didn't see this game as an effort. I didn't see the effort issue. I mean, they're trying hard. It's just that we're not making the plays that we need to make or putting them in the position they need to be put in.
And getting back to the acquisitions in the offseason and where this team is right now, have you spoken to Jeffrey? Is there any idea what his mindset is seeing this play out the way it has?
As far as what?
The disappointment level as far as any
sort of... Listen, Jeffrey's very competitive, so he's disappointed, and as we all are now.
Andy, you obviously in the past have put players in the right position to do their job. What is different about this crew? Because when you look at the infusion of talent that you have on this roster, from the outside looking at it, it would seem it would be more simple to put them in the right place to do what you need them to do to be more successful. What's different about, is it the lack of the OTAs? Is that any of that stuff come into this?
Well, listen, anything in, I mean, that's a great question, but anything in that falls into answering that question ends up being an excuse, and or can be taken as an excuse. So the bottom line is, as coaches, you've got to make sure you put the guys in the right position. And then when guys have an opportunity to be put in the right position, that they make plays. And we're not getting that done all the way around. So we've all got a part of that. Nobody had the OTAs. I'm saying no team had the OTAs. Does it help you with an influx of new people? That's an obvious, right? So you know, the more reps you get, the better chance you have of knowing the offense and defense. But again, that stuff all ends up being an excuse at this point, and there are no excuses. You've got to make, you know, when it's all equal, you got to come out and you got to coach, and then you got to when you give an opportunity to make a play, you got to make a play.
Early in the year, most of your losses were, I mean, there was one play that if it went a different way, it just seemed like it was well. And the last two have really gotten away from the team. Is it disturbing that it's kind of trending that way? That you know, teams are kind of, you know, striking quick, and you guys aren't, you know, don't have an answer.
Well, listen, you can't start the game with a turnover. I mean, that's not what you strive to do, and that's my responsibility. Put Vince in a situation where he doesn't, you know, there's not that type of an adjustment, and so on. And that's a negative on my part. And you want your first play to be a successful play, and one for positive yardage.
His fault, not your fault.
Listen, I'm the one who put that play together. So it obviously didn't work, and so I've got, you know, a big piece of that pie right there.
Why is it throwing so many interceptions?
Well, they're for various reasons. You know, they're tip balls. I mean, everybody's got a little bit of it. I'd like to tell you it's just as simple as he isn't as familiar with the offense as the rest of the guys, but that's not the case. And the interceptions, all of the interceptions. We've had a few tip balls there too.
Andy, you said the effort's there, but is the focus there? The penalty, you know, too many men on the field with the punt, and then Ronnie Brown not quite sure how to react to a kickoff that's about to go out of bounds. Is the focus on this team?
Yeah, I think the focus is there. I think when you're losing, you almost push too hard in certain situations. You get into the what ifs, and you've got to really fight that. So, as opposed to where it just flows, like we've seen, before, and really in the games that we've had success with.
You haven't had too many situations like this outside of your first year. What do you do to keep these guys believing in your message? I mean, you've been talking to them since training camp, and especially during the slide. What do you do at this point to make sure you don't lose them?
Well, listen, I'm honest with them. So I make sure that I'm shooting everybody straight, including myself. So I'm very real with the players, and then I've got a good locker room to where they'll work hard. And so that's and what do you do now? You just continue to try to get better. That's the approach you take. And this is all of our business, and so we can all get better at what we're doing, and that's the approach you go with.
Worried all about job security with the 4-8 at this point? Obviously, you know, a lot of unhappy people.
Listen, that's a logical question, but as a coach, you don't do that. Again, I'm being as honest as I can with you. I don't sit up here and I don't worry about that. I worry about getting better is really where I put all my energy. And that's what I can control and become a better football coach and make my assistants better, and then at the same time make the players better.
Is the focus for the final four games the same as it was for the first 12? I mean, do you, with this situation now, do you start looking at younger players to see what they've got in those final 4 weeks, or do you just take this unit and say, we're going to keep at it until we get better?
Well, I'm going to look at everything. I'm just getting off a plane and coming back and looking at the tape. So I'll go through. I'll see where everything stands. And then, but I will tell you, in general, it would be to get better. That's a,
We hear in the locker room a lot of guys before and after games saying, after losses, we were better than them. We're more talented than them. We shouldn't be losing these. Do you think did some of these guys, do you think, buy into the expectations? And I mean, you guys were picked to go really far and win a lot of games. And do you think some of these guys maybe are talking too much about it instead of just doing it? And, I mean, do they need to shut up and just stop?
I don't know about that. I said this during training camp. There's a difference between expectation and reality. Right? Reality is every year you have to come together as a football team. That's coaches and players all working together and kind of pulling the rope and the tug of war in the same direction. And so I think we're all searching. I think players, these guys want to win football games. They're professional athletes. They want to win and be successful. Coaches want to win and be successful. So everybody's looking for that answer right now. And so you're going to get a variety of answers from different individuals. I don't worry about that. I just worry that what do we need to do to get better and get those answers out there and then work on those in practice.
There were some shots during the broadcast last night of Deshaun not looking back for a pass during a route, sitting up by himself.
Let me tell you something. I had a chance to go over that with Derek, and I'm disappointed in a lot of things. Very disappointed in the NFL Network. Very, very disappointed in the way they portrayed that. And Deshaun was, I'm going to tell you now, and Deshaun was all in that game, and he had a great attitude during that game. And you can take a camera and you can make things look any way you want to make them look, but that kid was all in last night, and I was proud of him for that.
Outside of the shot on the sideline that I think you're talking about, did you see the replay when he was running the pass route? I think it was on third down.
He's a clear route on that. Yeah, I did see. I mean, Derek's coached me up on it. So, but he and I showed Derek the picture of it. Jason Avant's the primary on that. Selleck's the second read on that. Back to the running back on it. And Deshaun, all he has to do is occupy the corner and the safety, and all's good right there. So, again, you can take a camera. You can make it look any way you want to make it look. and I understand that. But that kid, I'm telling you, that kid was all in last night and wanted to win that game as much or more than anybody.
Their sideline reporter said,
"Too much to question Deshaun about who he talks to before a game." Is the media gone a little too far to question him on who he talks to? I don't know if you heard that was an issue.
That part I didn't hear, but I don't care about all. I just care that the kid comes out and plays, and he came out and played his heart out last night.
The sideline reporter said, he wasn't interacting with his teammates on the bench. He was sitting by himself and all that stuff. Did you sense any of that?
Not at all. I mean, absolutely nothing there. Now, again, you can take, and I'm not sure they know what who's talking to who and so on, what the conversation's about. I mean, not knowing the language, I don't know how you're able to go into that, but this is all petty stuff, I know, but I'm telling you, the kid was all in, and he had a great attitude, and that's what I can tell you, and there was nothing on the sideline, there wasn't any commotion with him, he and Vince, or there's nothing there, nothing.
What's been so hard to get him the ball? He had a game early, and it's just been kind of...
Well, he's a good player, so you see where... They'll roll a trail guy underneath them with a corner over the top, or they'll drive the safety over the top with the corner underneath, and they try to take him away. But that allows other players opportunities. And then when you're given that opportunity, that you've got to make that play. And, but he has people's attention, in particular on the deep balls.
How's Macklin doing? I don't know if you mentioned him.
Yeah, I did. He's doing better. You see him most likely back out there at practice next week.
Do you expect Mike to practice Monday?
I do. And what role, we'll see. But I think there's a pretty good chance he's back.
To say barring a setback, you kind of expect him Sunday in Miami?
I think so. I want to see him throw the ball and really torque on it for at least a handful of throws, or more than a handful of throws.
Michael, were to be unable to go next week, is Vince Young still the guy who would have the first team reps and start in his place?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how all that works.
Did you think about going to Kafka at all last night? I mean, it seemed like Vince was really struggling out there.
Well, like I said, there were some tip balls. He had a couple of beautiful throws, I mean, there were some real good. That's right. There were a couple that he did throw. But he had a couple of beautiful throws where he came back and made some nice plays. So, that's so. Anyways, to answer your question, no, I didn't.
Two more guys.
You have a long week here, a week and a half going down to Miami. Do you have to kind of reevaluate almost like a bye week and maybe look at changes, whether it be to the lineup or coaching or workload or that sort of thing?
Well, listen, I look at everything, so and I won't change that. That's how I do it.
Looking back, it's been a long time since the NFL had an East Coast team playing a short week on the West Coast. I know you don't want to use excuses, but I mean, just physically to do that, to play a late game Sunday, and then have to travel across the country 6 hours Wednesday and play a game on the road.
I think there are two ways you can approach that. I mean, the way I approached it with the team was make sure that you get rest. What a great opportunity to get 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours of good rest on that plane. We had a big plane where they could stretch out. Make sure you keep the liquids in. Get yourself a nap, a review, whatever you need to do, but use that as a positive as opposed to what people perceive to be a negative. And, that didn't help in the end result, but that was the way we approached it, yeah.
Okay. All right, that is head coach Andy Reid, and he updates the situation with – kill the mic in there. He updates the injury situation. Says there's a pretty good chance that both Jeremy Macklin and Michael Vick will return to practice on Monday as the Eagles prepare for the Miami Dolphins Eagles players have the weekend off. Here's your headlines. Colt Anderson, a torn ACL. Nnamdi Asamoah, a concussion. So those are your injuries from last night's game. King Dunlap recovering from the concussion, getting better. Rogers Cromartie has a high ankle sprain. That is continuing to improve. We hope he gets back in lineup quickly here. And then Vic and Macklin expected to practice on Monday. Players off this weekend. Tune in to Eagles Nightly tonight at 7 p.m. We will wrap things up and head into the weekend. Eagles looking ahead. And that's the approach to take. You look forward. You don't look back. Clearly, I know that's not how fans feel. So we're here for you. 215-339-6709. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show, here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. When we return, we want to go back into the locker room. And Cullen Jenkins, always somebody who gives you a good perspective on the kind of the way that the team is shaping up in the locker room. We'll go to him in just a moment. More of your calls as well on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet. 40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
You know, you gotta have that desire in you, you know, that just that makes you play, you know, for more than just, you know, money or something. You know, you play this game because, you know, you love it. You play this game because, you know, you accept the challenge, you play the game for a lot of different things, you know, and right now we just ain't manning up.
The fact that this one finally pretty much kills the playoff hopes make it hurt even more? I mean.
Yeah, it hurts a lot, you know, I mean, you know, not just playoff hopes, but, you know, winning season, you know, is best you can do, you know, it's 500 now, you know, but... You know, you still got to fight for that. Like I said, you know, it's going to be all about that pride, you know. You know, see if this team steps up, you know, and plays, you know, to play.
Could you understand if people are concerned that in these next 4 weeks there's going to be
you've been in Philadelphia now a few months, you know how it gets with one loss. That there's going to be so much anger and backlash and fan sentiment that it might affect the foundation here and what you guys have.
I mean, you know, I hope not, you know, but there's going to be a lot of anger, you know. I mean, it's, I'm sure right now, you know, it's a lot of people out there ticked off, and they should be, you know. You know, any fan, you know, wants to see their team do good. And, you know, it's one thing if, you know, we're going out there and, you know, we're, you know, just, you know, if teams are just better than us, but they're not. You know, and we're going out there and we're just giving away these games. And, you know, I could just imagine from a fan standpoint, you know, what it looks like watching a game. You know, it probably looks like, you know, lack of effort, lack of fundamentals, just lack of everything. And, you know, the fans are going to be frustrated.
Marshawn Lynch so tough to get down today?
You know, he's strong runner, too. You know, he runs hard and, you know, he never stops. And, you know, I think on some of those plays, you know, you can't assume that, you know, somebody's going to bring him down. And, you know, he just escaped out on us a few times out there.
What would you say to a fan who does sit at home and says, yeah, they don't think that there is the effort? Because, as you said, many people are going to think that these days.
Well, you know, we got to respond. It ain't no, you know, we come up with all the words and say, you know, oh, you know, there's great effort here and all this, you know, and try to plead our case. But fans ain't trying to hear that. You know, fans want to see it. You know, they want to see it out there on the field. They don't want to hear about it, you know, after the loss. And, you know, I bet they all getting tired of, you know, hearing us after, you know, it's been 8 losses now. And then we come in and, you know, you say everything. You know, you try to say everything the right way to the media, you know, and not cause up stirs. And, you know, but it's awful. You know, it's come down to it. It's awful. And we're not giving our fans anything right now.
Thank you, Colin.
And that was the scene last night in Seattle after the game. A very dejected locker room. Eagles bewildered, and I think we all are, 4-8 this team. You heard the updates from Andy Reid, the injury situation. Let's get back to some phone calls from you, 215-339-6709, as we take a look at the headlines. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Dave. What's up?
Well, what can I tell you, Dave? Mike? Yeah, what can I say, Mike?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm bummed out, like every Eagles fan should be, but I'm just trying to find like a bright spot at the end of this tunnel. It's like I'm trying to sum up everything I'm feeling about this team,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hearing a lot of critics say, you know, it's time to clean house, start over, and I don't feel that's necessary at all. I mean, you have your franchise quarterback in Mike Vick, who has been put into a situation where he is the guy with really little to no help from his coach. You'd think that he'd set up some slants or some screen passes or something just to
release pressure off of him. Wait, Mike Vick has no help from his coaches? What does that mean?
I'm saying he's throwing the ball like 35 to 40 times a game. He's the play calling is just not isn't there to keep him healthy over the course of a 16 game season. That's what I'm saying. Shady McCoy isn't getting the carries he needs. He's the most dynamic player on the team. I mean, don't you think they would have set up some screen passes for Deshaun or Shady or something? Especially now with Vince Young in at quarterback instead of trying to make him out to be Peyton Manning or
Well, they ran
something
at least,
that he's not.
Hang on, Mike. They ran off the top of my head at least 2 screen passes to Clay Harbor, 1 to Brent Celek. They tried the swing pass to LeSean McCoy over here that was intercepted in return for a touchdown. They tried an end around to DeSean Jackson. I can hear myself. Can you turn your speakers down, please? I thought they tried to get the short passing game going last night. Unfortunately, you're down 14-0 right away. Kill him. And I think the coaching staff does a great job putting together the passing game, putting together the constitution of the offense. You got to execute it, too. Again, are there times when I like to see the Eagles run the football more? Yeah. There's a lot of things I'd like to see different. We all would. But just to kind of make a blanket statement like that is not fair. It's not a fair statement. Let's take another phone call here. Casey from Doylestown. Hey, Casey. Hello, Casey. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Dave?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hello.
Turn your speakers. Hello? Turn your speakers off, please.
Hello.
Jeez. Guys, when you call, Dave? You got to turn your speakers off. You're talking on the telephone. It's a telephone conversation. Turn it. Next call. Guys, you must turn your speakers off, please. It's a delay. All right, we're not running a 7-second delay here. 215-339. That's the first interception Vince Young threw last night. Tough night for him. Eagles fall to, it's still hard to even say it, the Seattle Seahawks. Chris from New York joins us. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Dave.
Yes. Hi.
I can barely hear you. I can hear you at all.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Can you turn it up?
No, what's on your mind?
Okay, I can be like, I was actually calling on that Marshawn Lynch. It basically Babin. Do you think Babin's having trouble with the run because of the scheme, or it's just his head's not on a swivel?
Are you talking about the second touchdown run?
No, if you look at the first touchdown run, it's kind of comical.
Can we look at the first
Marshawn
touchdown
Lynch, run? Babin is actually turned backwards, and it actually looks like he's blocking for Lynch.
Well, he could have been using a spin move. I mean, it's something that I'm looking at Babin. Yeah, he's just trying to spin inside. So he spins inside and just kind of gets pushed along in the pile.
Yeah. You know, it just seemed like a lot of running plays were at Babin.
Yeah.
Is it him or
no, let's go to that play. I don't want to see the wild card game. I'm not here to celebrate Marshawn Lynch. I don't know. The Eagles did not do a good job against the run last night. But, I mean, it looked like every single player on defense touched Marshawn Lynch, and nobody brought him down. I wish I had an answer for you. The Eagles lost that battle.
I was watching the last time. I'm like, ooh, shaking my head, and then I'm hearing people saying, put this guy in the Pro Bowl. I'm like, because I think one play had like a 10-yard sack, and the next play ran 10 yards at him.
Yeah, well, so, Babin had 2 sacks last night. He's got 12 for the year. He's done a very nice job getting to the quarterback. Big sack numbers, but, I mean, you know.
He might just be a third down specialist now. I mean, it's sadly getting to that point.
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know what.
I didn't know if you knew something more than I did.
No, I mean the defense has just not been consistent. They've not been consistent.
I've accepted my fate of this season.
Well, I mean, the Eagles are 4-8. They're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, no. I said even after the loss, I wasn't even. My emotions were the same as it was before the game started. It didn't even bother me.
I don't believe that, or else you wouldn't be calling today. Of course, it bothers you. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah,
to be
it
4-8.
Bothered me, but not the way that the Patriots and the Cardinals, those infuriated me. This is just, like I said, I've accepted my fate.
Yeah, you go from being infuriated to like, well, my goodness. I mean, where does this team go from here? How do they get it back? How do they get back on track?
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Last night was the first night where I said, do you get rid of Andy Reid or not? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. No, I wouldn't be crazy if they did. I mean, I personally think they should just bring a D coordinator in and then give Andy his next year and it's, you know, take it from there.
Well, I mean, these are decisions that Jeffrey Lurie will have to make, and they're going to be tough decisions, and it's a very unpleasant situation to be in. Unexpected, but it's reality. And you have to be, and I think Andy answered it very well today. You have to be honest with how you're evaluating every phase of the football operations. You have to be honest with it and make it better. I mean, that's this organization, since Jeffrey has bought the team, they have been a playoff team. A good run of success since 1994, 95. So He's done a nice job evaluating the process. How do you get it back on track? They haven't won, haven't won a playoff game now since the 97-98 season. NFC Championship.
Yeah, well, you know what? We haven't won a playoff game since Jim Johnson left. That's
well,
the big
that's
one,
true.
Too.
That's true. There's no doubt. No doubt that the team has dearly, dearly misses the late Jim Johnson. No question. The defense is not the same. Agreed with that.
Yep.
So, hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I don't want to let other people get their stuff off their mind. Have yourself a good Eagles day, Dave.
Doing the best I can. Thank you. You and the same and all you Eagles fans. By the way, again, great, great support on the road. We thank you very much. Sorry, team couldn't bring you a win here. Dave Spitter with you. We take a little break now when we come back. We're going to talk about an important Eagles event for the fans to be part of. We're coming right back on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Quitting and stuff like that. I ain't never seen a team quit. You know, no team I ever been on. I mean, even me watching the NFL, I never seen a team just go down there and lay down, you know, for another team. So quitting, I mean, that's not even in, you know, our mindset. I mean, we didn't quit to get here. A lot of players face adversity to get here. So, I mean, it is what it is. But as far as effort and as far as quitting, I mean, that's far from what the problem is.
The run defense, I mean, you knew you had to stop Marshawn. How difficult a running back is he? What challenges does he present for defense?
He breaks a lot. He breaks a lot of tackles. I mean, the last run he had the second touchdown, I think it was. He didn't even get touched. So, but we saw that on film. He was able to do that against the Ravens, Giants. I mean, pretty much every team they don't play. We knew that was their focal point. We knew we had to go out there and stop the run and win this game. And we showed him do a good job in the first quarter when he had like 80 some yards in the first quarter. So.
It seems like they really were able to seal the edge, and you know, he was able to turn it, even especially on that 40-yarder. You know, what happened on several of those runs?
On that run, like I said, he didn't get touched. I mean, it was a play we practiced all week. Well, I mean, it's a we call it a back play where the tight end blocked back, And he act like he's going to run to the strong side, but he's really going to, you know, come back to the back side. And it just wasn't nobody there. I mean, we practiced that run. Like I said, I mean, the effort ain't there. Just, man, this whole season, on all the losses, we just ain't been making no plays when we're supposed to make them, man.
How embarrassed are you with the way you guys tackled today? I mean, the 15-yard run seemed like pretty, you know, seemed like a lot, you know, a lot of them. Maybe the worst of the year.
I mean, anytime you got there and lose, I mean, especially this season, I mean, I wouldn't say we're embarrassed, but we're disappointed. Very disappointed. I mean, it's hard to, you know, to talk about it right now because there's so many emotions going through your head. So, man, just a very disappointed season. And we just got to make sure we just finish hard this year.
You didn't get any turnovers.
Thanks, Tamar. And that was Jamar Chaney. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. You know, we are here, obviously, to win football games, win a Super Bowl, but we're also here to help people. And Eagles fans, you have a chance to help people on Saturday. It's the Eagles' fourth annual Philadelphia Eagles Blood Drive in conjunction with the American Red Cross. And we welcome to the show our special guest, Anthony Tornetta, Regional Communications Manager, American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region. Anthony, good afternoon. And Anthony, if you could just let people know how Eagles fans can help their community on Saturday at Lincoln Financial Field.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having us on. I mean, I know it's a tough time for Eagles fans. And you know, the one thing we can say about, you know, the greatest fans in the world is that no matter what our season looks like, they always step up and are willing to lend a helping hand when it comes to their community and it comes to the city of Philadelphia. So, we have no doubt that Eagles fans will be out in numbers supporting us tomorrow. And if you're interested in donating blood in the fourth annual blood drive, you can do that by simply calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. And you'll actually get a chance to speak to someone live, and you can pick your time. And we'll be there from 6 a.m. in the morning until 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and probably a little bit past that. And should be an overall great event, and we're hoping to collect more than 1,000 units of blood. So,
Anthony, I don't think people understand the importance at this time of year of collecting blood. Can you kind of explain to people how the blood levels or the supply is so low?
Absolutely. We coming through the summertime, we see two times of year when we see a dip in collections. One is the summer season, and two is the holiday winter season. Now, if you tie in the fact that people are planning their winter vacations, high schools are out on, we rely heavily on high schools and colleges to maintain a stable supply. Now, they're out on their winter breaks. People are traveling, visiting with families, making holiday plans and shopping. And then throw in, a 6 or 8 inch snowstorm that cancels all of our blood drives in a single day. So that's a lot of blood. We need to collect 1,200 units per day to maintain a stable supply right here in Philadelphia. So just any of those factors are going to influence the amount of supply we have on hand. So, this drive, this event will go a long way to making sure that through the holiday season we have the blood that's needed for patients in our area.
For those, Anthony, who are maybe a little squeamish about this kind of thing, it's really not a difficult process at all, is it?
No, it's not. You know, we hear two reasons that people do not donate blood. One is that they've never been asked. So here we are, we're the American Red Cross, you're the Philadelphia Eagles organization, and we're teaming together. We're asking the fans, the citizens of Philadelphia, and all the surrounding areas to come out and join us in this life-saving event. And so we're asking you. You can hear us. We're asking you for your help. And then the other reason is that people are afraid of needles. And like you said, it's really, I like to say that it feels like a baby bee sting at first, and then it's done in less than 6 minutes.
Anthony, sounds like a great cause. And there are obviously some prizes for those who participate. Six lucky donors randomly selected to win a pair of AAA Fan Zone party tickets to the season home opener next year.
Mm-hmm.
And all presenting blood donors will receive a special event Eagles fleece blanket. And the turnout's been great in the past. How are you tracking this year, Anthony?
We're doing very well. Our goal is to collect 1,000 units of blood. To do that, we usually need to schedule approximately 1,200 people. And that being said, because there's some people that will have early morning appointments and might not wake up in time and just say, I'm not going to go out, or, you know, life situations happen and you can't make your appointment. So we still have room. We have about 900 people on schedule now, and, you know, we have plenty of room. We're asking people to call. I also believe we're going to have some alumni players out tomorrow, or scheduled to come out tomorrow. So it should be a great event all day. We'll have snacks for you. We'll make it worth your while to come on out and enjoy the day.
Anthony, thank you very much. Eagles fans, do it. Be extraordinary. Help save a life. Go down to Lincoln Financial Field tomorrow, the SCA club level, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. What better way to get into the holiday spirit than to help your neighbor? Anthony, thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, very good. All right, so Eagles fans, let's make sure we all pitch in here and make this a really extraordinary event. I mean, winning football games is one thing, but saving lives, something entirely, entirely different. And you can help your community, so do it. Let's go back to football here and go back into the locker room from last night. Jason Avant, Eagles wide receiver, always a reflective guy, talking about the loss to 4-7 Seattle Seahawks team.
Some pride and some professionalism about their work, and also, you know, for me personally, play as hard as I can, continue to play for my teammates, for my family, and for Jesus Christ, number one, and I hope, you know, the rest of the team has that mindset. It's not a throwaway the year thing. I think that it's a, you know, fight and, you know, be a professional type of thing.
Jason, most of you guys have never been through anything like this, so how hard is it to do that?
Well, for some people, I don't know how hard, you know, I don't know how hard it will be for them, but, you know, I can say for myself, I don't care, you know, if we were, you know, 1-10 right now, and I'm still going to go out and give 100%, and I expect the guys to go out and do the same. You know, it's disappointing. Being what we are right now is very disappointing, but you can go out and be a pro and play as hard as you can.
Your team echoes that sentiment of yours to still give 100%?
I hope so. You know, we'll definitely see. But I hope so, and I definitely think the guys will go out and play with 100%. And if not, I definitely say something to some guys.
Thanks. Yeah, no problem.
All right, Dave Spadaro with you here. Let's go back to the telephones, Eagles fans. Umberto from Massachusetts joins us. Umberto, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've got a question. I feel like everywhere I look online and when I listen to someone, they're always criticizing Andy Reid and how Andy Reid runs their offense and how he doesn't run enough. But I believe he runs it well, and I just want to get your take on how he runs it, because it seems like the players aren't making the plays. I go on last night to NFL.com, and I see all these comments that Andy Reid needs to go. But if you think about the game last night, Vince Young threw a pass perfect to Riley Cooper. He drops it into interception, 56 yards, leads to a touchdown. Then Vince Young throws the first play, one of his first passes, an interception. And like, they're just stupid passes. And then, and just like for the defense, like people say Juan Castillo, he's just a bad defense coordinator in this team. With all the young talent that we have, and without like the lockout affecting them, it seems like they're not gelling at all. And it seems like the schemes aren't fixing because they didn't have any time to go over it and what has to happen. On the second touchdown run, it seemed like Jason Babin, a wide nine technique, he guessed instead of react like defense linemen should do. And he went up the field, and it led to him getting trapped by the other tight end. And so Marshawn Lynch went 40 yards untouched. Now, that's not defensive coordinator. That's just Jason Babin reacting to a play. And I just wanted to
so you think Jason, you think Jason, coaching is. You think Jason Babin just goes up the field because he wants to go up the field? Jason
no,
Babin
I'm
goes up the
all.
Field because that's what the call is. There's supposed to be
yeah,
a linebacker.
No,
well, look back at the play, okay? Jason Babin goes up the field, and the outside linebacker is Akeem Jordan. Akeem Jordan gets pinned. Wait, freeze it. Akeem Jordan gets pinned right there, okay? The next level, the third level, is Asante Samuel. Asante Samuel is caught inside, and he gets blocked. And then Nate Allen runs into the mix there. So
yeah,
it's a well-designed play, and the Eagles got blocked up.
Yeah, it just seemed like to me, because I play college football, I play on the defensive line, and they always tell us when you feel no one blocking you, you squeeze the hole down so there's not a ginormous hole. And he just, as soon as he went up the field, he didn't like even react to. And I was just wondering, like, what you think on the coaching is? And I mean, well, if you, you agree know, with all the
listen,
critics.
I think Andy Reid, as he said in his press conference, he accepts the blame. He is the head coach. Now that's the sign of a good leader. All right, do the Eagles run the ball enough? We've talked about this for 10 years. I would like to see perhaps a couple more runs in the red zone, but by and large, LeSean McCoy's numbers suggest that he is getting the football just as many times as Maurice Jones-Drew and Matt Forte and all the many more carries than Adrian Peterson. Several more carries, not a ton. It's part players, part it's everyone. It's you don't just get to 4-8 because of one thing. It's everyone. And to get out of it, Umberto, it's going to take everyone to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't have the answer on how they're going to get out of it right now.
Yeah, I just feel like Andy Reid and the coaching is just criticized way too much.
But that's part of the territory of being an NFL head coach.
Yeah, I just think it's not right. He doesn't deserve it. He's a great coach.
He is a great coach, but the team's 4-8. It's his team.
Yeah.
If you're going to get all the credit for being the coach of the year when you're winning, you know, that's just you got to be a big boy here. Somebody's got to get blamed. So.
All right, well, thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much, Umberto. Thanks very much for the phone call. 215-339-6709, the telephone number. Long night. That is only iced tea, I will tell you. There's your headlines for the day. We are all exhausted here. Players are off this weekend. They come back on Monday. Hopefully they come back fresh and ready for the Dolphins. Four games remaining, two at home, two on the road. Miami and Dallas, the Jets and the Redskins at home. Four games to go in a season that sometimes it just feels like it never started. JR in Chicago. JR, welcome to Eagles Live. Hi.
My man, Dave. What's going on, man?
It's a tough day, man. Another one.
I know, I can tell, man. I'm listening to you, man. You sound real abrasive this morning, man. So I'm.
Well, you know, we nobody got any sleep. We came back from the game, right? You know, I went home and.
Oh, yeah.
And showered.
Just to comment a little bit, Dave, man. I'm actually looking kind of forward to the offseason. You know, the Slaughter, Reed, this and that. You know what? Should there be changes? Absolutely. You know, I think the changes need to be, if you're going to go on head coach and be coordinator, you've got to look at position coaches as well. You know, everybody takes the blame in this whole piece of this puzzle here. So, you know, I look forward to that, man. Hopefully we can just get it together, get the mentality right, have a full off season where we can make these pieces gel, man, and go out there and you know, crack some heads, do what we need to do.
Going to be a huge offseason, no question about it, JR. But I am in a position where I've got four more weeks of regular season to. I can't look ahead like that. But I'm certainly in the back of my mind thinking, I'm very interested to see what the Eagles do here in the offseason.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of changes.
Have a good Eagles day, man. Let's try to keep our head up.
Hey, JR, thank you very much for the phone call. Always appreciated. And all you Eagles fans, we appreciate it so much. Your support and your, you know, look on the road. It's like, it was amazing last night in Seattle. Amazing. All you Eagles fans. I'm very disappointed the team didn't deliver a win for you because you guys deserved it. You were awesome. In a loud stadium with no empty seats, the Seahawks fans, they came and they brought it. And Eagles fans were right there with them and, love you for you. Always support the team great. And on the road, it's just a remarkable scene. And hopefully, I know Miami's a big trip as well. And hopefully the team gets Macklin back, gets Vic back, and gets on a roll here to finish out the season. Could use some positive momentum to sustain some positive momentum. Jimmy the Geek from Vegas. What's up, Jimmy?
Dave, I know what you're going through. Those flights are absolutely exhausting, huh?
Well, you know, game day's a long, emotional day, and then I think the flight took off, whatever it was out there, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2,
right.
Whatever, it was like a 4.5-hour trip. We landed about 7:30, 8:15, and here we are.
So you got the time change and the distance. What was the venue like?
Seattle's a very interesting design. It's right downtown. They've got the one end of the end zone is like in a kind of a pyramid shape with right. with visible, you know, skyline shots. And then they've got the roof hanging over the sides, and that keeps the sound in.
Right.
Unfortunately, artificial turf, which costs Cole Anderson the rest of his season. But they have a definite home field advantage there, no doubt.
Yeah, but Carroll's like a woman jumping around like some moron. They got some nice players.
Well, you know, I watched Marshawn Lynch before the game, and this was 2 hours before kickoff.
Right.
I don't think I've seen a player with that kind of like bundled up energy. He's like this incredible amount of nerves and energy, and he carries that. He must get exhausted by the time the game's over. He plays with so much energy. That kid brings it, man.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
Hey, do we have a shot at Spags? I mean, I hate to put out negative energy toward anybody, but God, I'd love to have him back.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that.
Well, there's a precedent. I know that you can't because you know, you're employed by the mothership, but look, Marty went to Detroit, you know, had a shot at head coaching, you know, seems comfortable as an offensive coordinator. You know, the analogy to me, Dave, is you buy a Lamborghini and you put out the money and then you give it to your teenage kid and say, you know, don't wreck this. So I feel empathy for the players. I feel empathy for Juan, actually, because of the shortened preparation time, you know, and that sort of thing. But gosh, I got a real difficult issue with you know the decision. You can see the guys are out of position when the whole defensive line shifts to the right and overstacks there. Then they're gonna run a cutback. But you have Roll who fills the A gap instead of it's basic football. I don't know. I don't want to come down on any of them. I think they're all trying as hard as they can. It's just not happening this year. You know, so get over it, Philly. The same thing happened to the Phillies. It's not the end of the world. We got a great base here, and we need to hang together. You either stand for something or you fall for everything. And our fan base, you know, is too up and down.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think the fan base is awesome. I think the fan base, they're frustrated right now, and they should be. And they show up, and they're vocal, and we appreciate that.
I think buying a ticket, you know, gives you some right to have your position heard, but these guys are thrown together with the number of changes that we had with no offseason, no OTAs, and thrust right into to a new system with two new line coaches, with a brand new defensive coordinator. I mean, I know that you can't say certain stuff, but what I'm saying is, you know, relax out there. It's not the end of the world. We got a great base. We're better off than we were a couple of years ago, talent-wise. We're young. We're faster.